We always start with the imagination. We always start by encouraging young people to think outside the box and giving them a platform on which they can open doors and open windows to different ideas and ways of thinking. And that's how they then go on to create fantastic stories or poems or songs or plays or whatever it is that they want to write.
Welcome to Talking Creativity, the Crania podcast from Dublin City University. I'm Ciarán Dunn.
I'm Joe Binetti.
And I'm Tim Hannigan. In this series, we talk to academic experts on creativity, creative practitioners, people from the creative industries and the arts, and those working across disciplines and at the boundaries between scholarship and practice.
The aim of these conversations is to dig into creativity, to figure out what it means, and above all, to explore ways to encourage it in any field or discipline.
The Crania Project is based at Dublin City University and funded by the National Forum for the Enhancement of Teaching and Learning in Higher Education.
In this conversation, we discuss the place of creativity and creative writing in education at all levels, what it can bring and what it can unlock, and also its role in social change. We're talking to Colm O'Cunachan of the Fighting Words charity, which works with children, young people and adults using creative writing. But we'll let Colm tell us more about what exactly Fighting Words is and what it does later on. Colm himself is Fighting Words Education Director here at Dublin City University, based in the Institute of Education. He has a PhD from the University of Leicester in the field of human rights education. And before he joined Fighting Words, he worked in several different roles for Amnesty International and also for Action Aid. And before all of that, he was a teacher. Colm, thanks for joining us. You're very welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be with you, Tim.
So we always start these conversations with a standard question that we put to everyone, whatever background or field they come from. And of course, we'll start with that one for you. So what single word do you associate with the concept of creativity?
Imagination. My word has to be imagination. Creativity is all about imagination, ideas, and just the wonder of exploring new thoughts and exploring new sense of direction. And when people are allowed to use their imagination, that's when they're at their most creative.
Can you give me one little example of that in action?
I think when you allow people to explore and to open up new ways of thinking, they're always going to be at their most vibrant and their most positive and their most energetic. And certainly thinking from a Fighting Words lens and the way in which we work with young people, we always start with the imagination. We always start by encouraging young people to think outside the box and giving them a platform on which they can open doors and open windows to different ideas and ways of thinking. And that's how they then go on to create fantastic stories or poems or songs or plays or whatever it is that they want to write. So certainly the imagination is the trigger to the most positive and energetic, creative and expressive moments you'll get with young people.
Excellent. I'm just jumping ahead of myself a little bit here, but another question occurred as you were saying that. Fighting Words is known for working with children and young people, but also with adults. And in your role at DCU, you're working more with adults. I wonder if you could say something about the different way that people engage with imagination based on their age. I mean, is there an obvious difference between, we'll say, primary school children, secondary school children, and college students or college lecturers even?
There is a big difference, and from our experience, as people grow older, we become conditioned by society into certain ways of thinking, certain ways of talking, and certain ways of expressing ourselves. And some of that is imposed externally by traditions or by structures or by, you know, a sense of what's right or wrong or what's good or bad that's kind of laid out for people. And some of it comes from the self-censorship that we learn as we grow and we become hurt or insulted or afraid or concerned around certain things that we've learned and been conditioned to understand as unacceptable or as questionable. And that happens very much with creative expression, creative writing, songwriting, the ideation that you see with young people, that sense of energy of the mind that you see from young people, the sense of creative joy that you see in smaller and younger children becomes slowly eroded and dulled as children move into secondary school and as they move on into adulthood. Now, of course, you'll always have the very creative people who, you know, are naturally bound into their sense of identity as creative thought leaders and who never lose that edge. But for most of us, you know, we are conditioned away from it. And that definitely is visible when you're working with adult groups versus young children or when you're working with teenagers versus older people. Not a positive answer, unfortunately, but yes, there are differences.
I'll come back to that a little bit later and ask you something more about overcoming that barrier that maybe creeps up as people get older. But before that, because fighting words is mainly working with creative writing as a particular kind of creativity. I wonder if you could explain or give us some kind of definition of what creative writing is. I think it's something that people are very used to hearing the term, but don't necessarily think through precisely what makes writing or a particular piece of writing creative.
Well, one thing that, you know, most people can do is put pen to paper, crayon to paper, marker to paper, whether it's, you know, images or pictures or whether it's symbols or whether it's words, whether it's sentences and language, we can all put our ideas on a piece of paper. And many of us can write. And that is perhaps the most accessible and easiest way in which many of us will be able to express our imaginations, express our ideas, and express our creative selves. And what has happened, I suppose, in terms of the understanding of creative writing for many of us is that we've identified it with the great writers and the published writers and the writers that we love to read, the writers that we celebrate. But in fact, everybody is a writer or can be a writer, and everybody can be creative. So one of the great joys of working in Fighting Words is that you're helping people to discover the creative writer in themselves that was always there, but that they'd never been able to access or provide the time for themselves to be able to explore it. So creative writing really is all about just ordinary people writing words, sentences, and ideas together one after the next to tell their story in their way about their lives. And that unlocks in them both the sense of confidence and a sense of joy in terms of what they're able to achieve. But it also builds their personality and it builds their sense of place and their sense of identity and their sense of communication. So those secondary benefits, that are about personal development are so hugely important as well in terms of creative writing.
I mean, I suppose in a way, all writing, if you're writing a very functional email is in some sense creative. You're creating new sentences that didn't exist before. You're laying one word against another and you're creating something in the most basic and literal sense. Do you think there's a certain amount of maybe unhelpful mystique around the idea or the ideas we have of creative writing, the figure of the poet or the novelist or the songwriter?
I agree completely that there is that mystique and that sense of, you know, we are conditioned, I suppose, to write functionally. A lot of us do most of our formative writing in the context of very structured school-based activities and exams, and we learn to be functional in terms of how we're communicating information through the written word. But the line between functional writing and creative writing is a very narrow one, and it's blurred, and there's huge amounts of overlap and space for us to communicate, you know, information in a way that is creative, that is innovative, that is different, that is just that sense of, that's more individualistic. And you know, it's more and more I think people are understanding that and trying to be creative in terms of how they're communicating. And you're certainly seeing that online. You're seeing a lot of it in social media and even in email, where people are trying to push the boundaries of, you know, communicating with a bit of wit, a bit of themselves, a bit of personality, a bit of imagination.
Great, thanks. To possibly take things slightly back, just briefly in the direction of the grand figure of the writing, can you tell us just a potted history of Fighting Words itself? What is it? Who started it? And what does it do? And how does its model work?
Well, it's the simplest of ideas, really, that you just create a space for people to write. And the idea has its genesis beginnings in the United States, with a center created by writer Dave Eggers in California at 826 Valencia, as it became known. And it rolled out to create centers all across North America. And, you know, creating spaces, physical spaces, rooms where children could come and just enjoy writing, and that writers, volunteers, teachers, parents, community leaders would come to support young writers to have fun, to be creative, to be themselves, and to express themselves. It was always about writing in every genre, from poetry through to podcasting, through to short stories, illustrations, you name it. And Roddy Doyle, who is a friend of Dave Eggers, heard about this, went and visited, and just was inspired by the excitement of the idea and felt this is something we should definitely do in Ireland. And Roddy's intention was not just to create a space for young people to write, but also to start tackling some of the challenges that we have in Ireland around, for example, the curriculum and the need for us to think about creative writing and curriculum and the challenges with the education system that can present barriers to the development of creative writing in young people. Or another area would be around disadvantage and exclusion, voicelessness, where Roddy felt that creative writing could be a huge spur, help platform to address issues around marginalization. So together with Sean Love, they set up Fighting Words in 2009 and opened a centre in Russell Street, not far from Dublin City University, where they created a big bright room, as it's called, just a bright, airy, spacious, fun space that's crafted to be child-centred and to be, you know, creative, inspiring. It's just a wonderful place to be. There's now a similar space in Belfast, and all around Ireland, in 18 different art centres and libraries, there are similar spaces that are being used by Fighting Words for workshops. Of course, laterally in the last 15 months, everything's being done online and working very effectively online. But at the same time, everyone looking forward to being able to return to the physical spaces as well as the online spaces to keep the magic of Fighting Words going. At this point, 12 years on, Fighting Words has reached hundreds of thousands of young people with creative writing experiences across these 18 centres. And in addition to workshops with school groups, it runs writing clubs, play writing clubs, book projects, and a whole range of online writing experiences, as well as the annual Irish Times supplement, which is a fantastic celebration of the creative talent of young people around Ireland, but now also internationally, who send in their work to be published.
Excellent. So it's a very broad broad range of activities, but all with that idea of creative writing practice at the core of it, I suppose. But you specifically are based within DCU and in the Institute of Education, but you're working well beyond that area, well beyond teacher training and teacher education. So could you tell us a bit more about what your specific role at DCU as a fighting words person is, what you're trying to achieve here, which seems to sit slightly in its own little annex from the broad fighting words package that you just described for us?
Well, firstly, I mentioned earlier that for Roddy and Sean, the engagement with the education system, teacher training, curriculum, education policy was always an ambition and something that they felt needed direction and attention. So there was, from the very beginning, the aspiration to have a catalytic role based at an Institute of Education to really engage with those questions. But secondly, third level education in general and universities in general are fantastic platforms for driving thinking and driving innovation. And by linking fighting words to Dublin City University, you're getting that nucleus of energy around creative writing as a core part of that kind of third level think tank space that's available. And so the education director role is a sort of fellowship that's based at the Institute of Education, funded by the Department of Education, and very much a partnership. Very much a relationship where Dublin City University Fighting Words and the Department of Education are moving forward a programme that's focused on research around creative writing and teacher education together. And that programme involves the entire university. We work certainly in education, but also just for example, with the School of Nursing. Or we work in the area of maths, we work in the area of science, where we're exploring far more than just creative writing itself, but the creative skills and thought processes and the kind of innovative approaches that come with creative writing and that are of use to us as project managers, in terms of problem solving, in terms of thinking dynamically and creatively, that are of massive use to us in terms of well-being, in terms of expression, in terms of our sense of confidence. So while, yes, the core agenda is around education, what we're finding is that across the university, there's huge interest in creativity and creative writing as part of programmes in other areas.
So that leads on to the question of How well have you found, or do you find, that the fighting words model translates within a higher education setting, beyond teacher education? You mentioned working with nursing, working with maths and business. Has it mapped across from the way it's used out in the wider world into a college level setting?
Certainly it has. I mean, again, obviously at university level, you have structures and, you know, courses and accreditation and assessment are framed in a way that isn't always compatible with the types of work that we're trying to advance in the area of creative education. And you know, getting accreditation for a course around creative writing and education would be as challenging as trying to get formal recognition of creative writing as a curriculum subject in schools for all of the same reasons. So where it works really well is in the informal and the more direct kind of relationships that we're able to build up with different schools, with the coordinators of different courses, to have classes or sessions or modules around creative writing bolted into work that's being done across the Institute of Education. So whether it's in the School of Geography or Maths or Drama, you're finding faculty members who are really interested in creating a space for fighting words and the fighting words methodologies. So I'm invited in to give sessions with student teachers across a range of areas. Secondly, of course, we have these centres across the university. For example, the Centre for Inclusive or Special Education, the Centre for Education Disadvantage, the Anti-Bullying Centre, and so on, where you've got research and projects running that are pushing the boundaries in terms of their various expertise. And again, plugging in with a creative writing solution or a creative writing fit to the kind of work that these centres are advancing is working really well. We ourselves are advancing a research programme. We've benefited from an excellent relationship with a number of academics at the Institute of Education, and I'd have to mention in particular Dr. Irene White and Dr. Francesca Lorenzi, who've been doing research around the fighting words model for 10 years now and longitudinally, and we've built up a fantastic evidence base and scholarship around the model. But beyond that, we're running our own research projects in relation to creative writing in schools and the teacher education and creative writing. So we're finding a way in which we can work very effectively with the education and research and infrastructure at the university, but it still has a way to go in terms of the formal recognition, as I was saying at the start.
That sort of highlights a point that has already come across in what you've said there, that there is, or there seems to be certainly, a distinction, a certain separation between creative writing as an outcome of itself, something that you might go to a class to learn, to become a better poet or songwriter or novelist, or that you might sign up to a undergraduate course in creative writing, and then creative writing as a tool within diverse educational contexts. You talked about sort of bolting it on to other programs that might in themselves have nothing to do with creative writing. Would that be the way you see it? And is there something more you can say about that idea?
Yeah, it probably is the way we see it, in the sense that creative writing is hugely valuable in and of itself. And we owe it to children to give them that space to be able to write in their own way, with their own words and their own stories in a confident manner, and without being told what the right beginning is or what the right middle is or what the right end is to a story. Just being given that space to learn to be creative. And that should be an objective as a means and an end in itself. But we also need to understand that there are the additional beneficial outcomes that come from that way of thinking and working creatively, which are massively positive across the curriculum and throughout our development as children and adults. And that's where the second element comes in, where we can see the benefits of creative writing in other areas. Just to take maths as an example, story is a really useful way to attack maths problems, to communicate maths problems, to solve maths problems through story. And indeed, you can write stories very effectively using mathematical rules and construct. So that relationship between story and maths is to the great benefit of mathematicians and indeed to creative writers, and finding ways to be able to bring those two disciplines together and to allow that to have a space in the curriculum or in the school plan or in the culture and way of learning in a school is exciting, but it's also unusual and therefore challenging. And I just use maths as an example. I could have picked any subject in the curriculum and developed a similar picture.
Excellent. I mean, I think you've in a way already said what you might say in response to the next question, but I will ask it directly. If you were facing a skeptical academic, and clearly you've already been working with people in nursing, people in business, people in math, so they're obviously not skeptical, but those are not necessarily areas that you would automatically associate with creative writing. So if there was someone in one of those areas who was less receptive, who was skeptical, who did sort of say, well, what's creative writing got to do with what I teach my students, what my students are here to be learning? What would you say to them? What can creative writing bring to their students and to their teaching that they might not get from any of the other array of tools on hand?
Yeah, I think what's important in addressing that question is to try and understand the benefits and the positives that arise, accrue from giving people the space to be creative. And, you know, creativity builds confidence, and confidence is hugely valuable no matter what discipline or subject you're working in. Creativity leads to communication and expression and the ability to present and represent information, which again is hugely important across the board at any university. Creativity gives you that sense of wellness, that sense of feeling good in yourself and feeling positive. And again, that's hugely important no matter what discipline you're talking about. Creativity gives us that sense of place and that sense of ourselves and our sense of purpose and our sense of voice, which again is important across every area that you might be working in. So it's when you really think about what creative writing unlocks that you can understand why it's of benefit across the curriculum. And what's interesting now in the context where we're seeing the emergence of an increasingly disruptive world where, you know, major challenges like climate change or the COVID pandemic are expecting us to be more responsive, more reactive, more creative, more dynamic. And where everything is changing much more quickly and where innovation is so much more important, is people who are creative, people who can deal with that kind of ambiguity, those kinds of challenges, and be adaptive. So, you know, in disciplines like engineering, where project management and solutions-based project management is so important, or I could say in IT, the whole area of technology, that same kind of project management, solution-based learning is required. And creativity and the kind of roots of what's required to be a good creative writer are hugely valuable in terms of the skill base that's needed to think outside the box and to be able to provide meaningful leadership and meaningful ideas in that kind of a situation.
And of course, creativity is the skill that appears on virtually every job description these days. It's sitting very high on the top 10 global skills for the 21st century that you often see bandied around. Yet it's often not really explained what's meant by it. But I think you've made a great job there of explaining how it can flow out from creative writing as a particular kind of practice. I'm going to, just as we move towards the end, step a bit away from specifically the higher education setting and even education, certainly specifically more generally, and ask a question about the sort of the change drive in fighting words more broadly, also drawing on your own previous experience and professional background with Amnesty and ActionAid. Where does creativity have a role in social change in a wider sense?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because in my own career, you know, I've worked a lot in the area of human rights and development and dealing with challenges in the area of civil and political, economic and social crises in countries around the world. And again and again and again in that work, in that human rights work, the importance of creativity to drive positive change shines through. And you need to be creative and dynamic to be able to explain and understand the problems that people have to live through on a day-to-day basis, and to be able to build the solutions with them around how to address those inequalities or those challenges to dignity and justice. You know, by telling stories around poverty, telling stories around violence, telling stories around environmental degradation in a way that's understood and a way that people can embrace, you start to find solutions. And the telling of the story is the very first and most important step in terms of pointing towards those solutions. And very often when we went in as human rights workers into situations where people were dealing with massive injustice, it was the storytellers, it was the people who could creatively embrace those problems that became our biggest allies in terms of building solutions. And it's no surprise then, you know, that within the human rights framework, you see some key elements that are linked directly to creativity, expression, and the whole area around freedom of expression, participation and inclusion, and the right to participate, and indeed the right to enjoy the arts and to be able to be creative is in itself a human right. So there is that direct link between human rights and creativity, and creativity is often a solution in terms of dealing with human rights violations.
It's obviously a powerful thing, and it goes far beyond the fairly narrow confines of personal expression and fulfillment or entrepreneurship and that kind of thing. It has so many vast applications. We're moving towards the end now. I've got a couple of questions that, again, are standard ones that we put to everyone. The first one brings us back to education again, and we can take education broadly beyond any specific level. What, as educators, can we do, if we can narrow it down to a certain sort of set of core maxims, to promote a culture of creativity beyond any specific subject or discipline, and to cultivate students' creative potential?
I think one of the things I've enjoyed most about settling into Dublin City University is the way in which educators and academics across the university are working in this area of culture and creativity. And it isn't the preserve of any one school or any one faculty or any one programme across the university. It's just popping up everywhere. And as educators, I think that networking approach, where we're allowing creativity to become a focus and a priority in all areas of the university, and by extension in all areas of life, is massively important. And just taking examples like the Onam Festival, which kind of acts as a fuse or a catalyst to culture and creativity across the university, is just one example of how we're as educators able to ensure that creativity is getting a space in every aspect of college life, and by extension, in every area where the students are trying to advance their careers and develop as young adults. And I think that sense of creativity being linked to every aspect of life is massively important.
And the final question then, if you had a magic wand, what one thing would you change or do to increase creativity and creative outcomes and outputs within higher education or beyond?
I think the magic wand would be applied to the way in which society embraces and celebrates children and their imaginations and their openness and their creativity at a young age, celebrates it in a way that encourages it to continue all through their school life and all through their university life. If at a young age we allow children to be open and expressive and not shut them down, not create walls and barriers, not tell them how to write, not tell them how to think, but rather encourage them to write for themselves and to think for themselves and to have fun and explore things in a way that, that isn't overstructured. That will bear fruit for them as children, but also then as young adults and as students in university level. And it just becomes this unstoppable snowball of creative energy as people grow. So, you know, the magic is at a young age, encouraging creativity with children.
And that unstoppable snowball then can roll all the way on to college and on beyond after that. Colm, thanks so much for a wonderfully wide-ranging and very passionate conversation about creativity, creative writing, and the work that Fighting Words does.